Good afternoon, brethren. It's a beautiful Sabbath day. Well, at some point in all of our lives, each of us learned how to walk. Unfortunately, some people are born with conditions that make it impossible for them to ever walk. But that will change one day. But for everyone here, we all learned to walk. I don't know everyone's whole life story, but I do feel pretty confident saying that we were all quite young when we learned. The typical child begins to walk between 9 and 18 months of age. There is some variation, of course, but right around a year old is what's typical. Which is an awkward time to go from the very stable, crawling on all fours, to walking upright. You have stubby little legs. You're wearing a bulky diaper, which, let's be honest, does not facilitate normal walking patterns. And your head is disproportionately large compared to the rest of your body, which makes you a little top-heavy. Now, the big head stage, and that's me calling it that, that's not the clinical term. The big head stage is normal for a toddler. And we eventually grow into our heads, hopefully. There are some physical characteristics that make learning to walk at that age a little challenging. And so it's understandable that a small child's walking would be a little awkward. That unstable walking is why they're called toddlers, not big heads. Now, it's really cool to watch a child develop to the point of walking. I realize that really cool is not a phrase you often hear in sermons, but it's the best way I know how to describe it. A baby begins by making jerky, involuntary movements, but they quickly learn to start moving their arms and legs on purpose. In a very short time, just a few months, babies learn to pick up their heads, roll over, and start scooting. They figure out how to get up on all fours, to crawl, and yes, how to walk. When you consider just how quickly they go through those stages, it's pretty remarkable. Learning to walk is quite a challenge. As one article I read from the National Institutes of Health put it, how do you learn to walk? Thousands of steps and dozens of falls per day. It's a challenging task, but because we go through it when we're so young, none of us remember what the process was like. When you're a baby, the plasticity of your brain is quite high. You learn new things and develop new skills every day, every hour, and every minute. Imagine if you had to learn how to walk as an adult, when your brain and your body aren't nearly as flexible. Well, plenty of people have. There are lots of people who, after brain or spinal cord injuries, or after a stroke, have lost their ability to walk. And they had to learn how to walk all over again. And they did. Most of us haven't had to go through something like that. And hopefully we never will. But even if we haven't gone through the physical process of relearning to walk, we all have to go through that process spiritually. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. And I'll explain what I mean. And put a marker here in Ephesians, because we'll be coming back several times. Paul describes how we all learned to walk. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Now, some of us got a better start than others. Maybe you didn't have to crawl out of the spiritual gutter. But when you commit to God in his way of life, you acknowledge that you've been walking the wrong way. You acknowledge that you have to learn how to walk all over again. So today, let's look at four steps to walking. Step number one is love. Love. Turn over a page or two to Ephesians 5 and verses 1 through 6. Christianity is committing to the process of change. It's a journey. And walking is an apt description of what we have to do as we go from what we used to be to what we need to be. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." The first step is in learning to walk is love, the same love that Jesus Christ had. But let's keep reading to see the whole picture. Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks, giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't let anyone tell you that walking in love means you can ignore these things and still be okay. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Please turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 through 7. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. This is the most detailed definition of godly love in the entire Bible. But as we read what it says here, keep in mind that list of things that bring about the wrath of God. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. "Love suffers long and is kind, not selfish. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. Love does not celebrate uncleanness or crass humor, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These things, as they're referred to in Ephesians 5, are not love. Accepting them or ignoring them is not walking in love. It's the opposite of love. That's how the children of wrath walk, the sons of disobedience. That's how we used to walk. But now, we walk a new way. Turn to 1 John, chapter 5, and verses 2 and 3. Now, John, the apostle of love, defines love a little differently. Not that Paul's description doesn't include actions, but John gives us some specific actions to take as we learn to walk again. Some specific steps, if you will. 1 John 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, the same love that Paul was talking about, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. If you want to walk in love, start by taking 10 little steps. You can find them in Exodus 20. The love of God requires commandment keeping. But notice that there are two parts to this. See, you can obey your parents out of obligation or fear. But walking in love means we don't keep the commandments just because we have to, but because it's who we are. Now, don't get me wrong, we do have to keep the commandments. But we have to breathe air to stay alive. But breathing is not a burden. It happens naturally. Step number 2 is light. Light. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 through 14. Now, I think that most of the people here have never been to Camp Heritage. But as I describe this, maybe you can picture something similar that you've experienced. The Johnsons will probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Camp Heritage is in the middle of nowhere. Now, I happen to think that most of the state of Pennsylvania is the middle of nowhere. And at night, it gets very dark. Now, if you're in a clearing and the moon is shining, you can see pretty well. But once you start walking down those paths through the woods, it gets really dark really fast. Well, one time, a few other staff members and I had to walk from the dining hall to the staff cabins. And none of us had a flashlight. And that was the slowest walk I have ever taken at Camp Heritage. Most of it, we were huddled together, slowly creeping along the path, feeling carefully with each step to make sure that we were still on the path, and hoping that we didn't trip over any roots. And we didn't have a flashlight, but one person did have a camera. So at several spots, she would take a picture, and we would run about 15 to 20 feet to the spot that we could see when the flash went off. To walk the right way, we need light. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, not of wrath or disobedience. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Light always overcomes darkness. David Johnson from the Foundation Institute puts it well in his explanation of this passage. He says, if you mix black paint and white paint, you get gray paint. But if it's dark and you turn on a light, the darkness is gone. We need to shine a light on the dark things, the secret things in our lives, in our character, so we can expose them and overcome them. Turn to Romans 13 and verses 11 through 14. Now, as Paul gives his instructions to the church in Rome, he tells them to love one another in verses 8 through 10. And how does he explain loving one another? By quoting the last five of the Ten Commandments. And then, starting in verse 11, Paul sheds a little more light on why we should love by keeping the commandments. Romans 13 and verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Each step brings us closer to the end. If we walk in sin, in darkness, we get closer to condemnation. If we walk in the light, we get closer to salvation. Please turn to Psalm 119 in verses 129 through 135. So where do we get this light? How do we make sure that we're still on the path? How do we make sure we're not going to trip over any tree roots along the way? Psalm 119 and verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives me light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts, and make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Or, to put it more simply, let's go back several verses and read Psalm 119 and verse 105, which says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The world is full of darkness. Sure, there's some light in there, but it's like a camera flash in the woods. Only little bits of light. But the Word of God, that's the brightest flashlight that you can buy. If you want to learn to walk the right way, you need to see where you're stepping." Step number three is wisdom. Wisdom. Turn back to Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Now, when someone loses the ability to walk, after a stroke, for example, the muscles and the nerves in their legs are still there and intact. But the brain cannot send signals to the muscles to move. It can't interpret the information that the nerves are trying to send back about the position and speed of the leg. What was there is gone, and the brain has to make all new connections. The brain has to be retrained, which is probably the most frustrating part of learning to walk again. The old connections, the old way of walking, doesn't do any good. You have to start from scratch. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly," or carefully, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The way we used to walk doesn't work anymore. We have to retrain our minds, not according to the old way, but in a brand new way. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17. Sorry, 2 Timothy. I think I said first. Well, we've probably all heard the statement, experience is the best teacher. And there are several versions of that statement, but Benjamin Franklin put it this way: experience keeps a dear school, but fools will learn in no other. 1 Timothy 3, or 2 Timothy 3, in verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The wise do gain wisdom from experience, but they also look for better sources of wisdom. To put a little spin on what Paul and Benjamin Franklin said, a fool walks around experiencing everything. A wise person considers his steps and determines the right path without needing to stub his toes all the time. Turn to James 3 and verses 13 through 17. There are two options, two choices. God consistently offers two choices, and only two choices. The tree of life, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Life or death. Blessings or cursings. Slaves of sin, or slaves of righteousness. Light or darkness. Children of God, or sons of the devil. And there are two kinds of wisdom from which to choose. James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness, in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's the wisdom by which the sons of wrath walk. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The trouble with the old way of walking is it works. It works to get you around in this world. To be self-centered. Lying can actually get you ahead in this world. The wisdom of the world works in this world. But Satan's wisdom has no value outside of the system that he's set up. And even in this world, walking according to the wisdom, according to that wisdom, causes damage to us and the people around us. The wisdom of God, however, produces good, lasting fruit. The wisdom from above trains our brains to walk in a way that is profitable in this life and has promise for the life to come. Please turn to Proverbs 4. And verses 1 through 9. Now, any discussion of wisdom is incomplete without a trip to Proverbs. So be sure to choose the right kind of wisdom. Choose the right source of wisdom to retrain your brain. And then go get it. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Which brings us to our fourth step. Step number 4 is purpose. Purpose. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 17 through 24. I said before, there are lots of people who have lost the ability to walk. Some were even told that they would never be able to walk again. But they're out there right now, running around. There are also lots of people who have lost the ability to walk and could walk again, but they never will. Because they have no desire. They have no goals. They have no purpose. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The old way is to walk aimlessly. The old way walks away from God and forgets about God. Walking in futility means there's no reason to do good. There's no reason to practice self-control. The old way seeks to gratify every desire without regard for how dirty it may be. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. We are learning to walk a new way. We walk toward God. It's hard to start the process all over again. But there's a goal in mind. There's a reason to struggle through each step, even if they're painful. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 18. The old way is to walk in futility. The world walks without purpose. But to learn to walk again, we need to know where we're headed. We need to have purpose. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The only thing that stops us from learning to walk again is purpose. The goal is eternal life in the family of God. There is no hope in the old way, but the new way gives us a reason to get out of the chair every day and put one foot in front of the other. Please turn to 1 Peter 2 and verses 9 through 12. The hope of salvation gives us a sense of purpose. But our purpose is not limited to our own personal salvation. If it were, there would be no reason for God to call some people now and the rest later. God could just let everyone walk in futility and then resurrect us all at the same time to teach us the right way. But God has called a few now to serve a greater purpose than just saving our own necks. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Someone is waiting for you. They're waiting for you to teach them how to walk. When they realize that they can't walk like they used to, just like we did, they're going to need help to learn how to walk all over again. Turn finally to Romans 6 and verses 4 through 6. Learning to walk as an adult is not an easy task. It's daunting. It's extremely difficult to retrain your brain to walk. It takes time. It takes practice. And it takes perseverance. Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The old way of walking is gone, and we have to learn it all over again. And as we learn to walk the right way this time, we have to take the right steps.